continue to be in prayer for Tish's dad, Raymond and Velma. Please be in prayer for Marion in Hot Springs. Her husband is still in critical condition. And, you know, just we can say Polly won't make it, as far as we know, but sometimes God has other plans in what we say. So it's very rough on her, and so please be in prayer. Also be in prayer, not next week, but the following week. I'll be in Tucson that week, so please be in prayer for those people there and for the teaching of the Book of Galatians there. And do we have anything else in this? Yes, Dave. I'm sorry? Oh, yes. So please be in prayer for Ray Armstrong's family and a good friend of, is it a relative or just close friend of Steph's family? All right. Very good. All right. So please continue be in prayer for Ray Armstrong. And anything else we need to be in prayer for? Yes. Okay, that's good. A lot of things go on when people are under a lot of stress. They sometimes will listen to what the Spirit is saying, what God is doing in their life. Sometimes become hardened to what God is saying, what God is doing. And therefore, what are we going to pray then? Let's pray that whatever's going on in each of their lives, to cause the tension and the stress there, that they will listen, one, to the Holy Spirit, or to someone like yours, someone that has the truth that can give it to them. So, stress is, those kinds of things are indicators that there's a lot of things going wrong in the soul. You go in, the doctor hurts here. He said, well, it's a symptom. And you take the car, and the car does this. Okay, that's the symptom of what's going on. And stress is the symptom that something's out somewhere else. So let's be in prayer that the Holy Spirit can use that. Okay, anything else? Yes. 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 Jerry's a interesting person. He's a good friend. He's a friend of good friend of Dan Hardy, and moved here from Phoenix with the idea of coming here. Got here and within like the 2-3 weeks, I mean, not less than a month, the company said, "Okay, you're in Dallas, but why don't you go to Chicago?" And you live in Dallas now, but you're going to go to Chicago. So he goes up to Chicago for a couple of months, and it's. And Gary and I talked about it a couple of times. So, yeah, let's be in prayer. He's in where a lot of people are in our society. It's work. You just work, and you get yourself into certain jobs and certain positions and certain things that your work becomes your world, even if you don't want it to. Even if you don't want it to. And It is, please let's don't be judgmental and say, well, just make a decision. It's tough. And so, and he has a son. And so it's, people have to make up their mind. And it's a very strong struggle. And people like that, we need to be in prayer for, not judgment of, but be in prayer that the Holy Spirit can just guide them in wisdom. And that's what he's looking for. Do I just say, hey, I have gotten caught up in this world. I have gotten, and it's not sin. We're not talking sin. We're not talking a lust of money. A lot of you know what I'm talking. It's just his job is just there, and it demands it. And or do you just say, I'm not going to do that. If God can't take care of me, God can't take care of me then. But I'm living to work. And There is, and we talked about this, it's not his problem, but let me just talk. There is a morphine type of effect. I mean, you get off on it, the money and the need of you and the all of these things, and they just keep going and going and going, and the power sometimes, and so many things that you look back over 10 years and you wonder where it went. Well, it's gone to that work. Not to the Lord, not to family, not to these things. I hope he doesn't mind. Many, many years ago, this was seen. Her brother, who was very high in Herbalife, you gotta have meetings during the week at night, and you've got to do this and that. And she just made what I'll just call a faith decision. Excuse me if that offends you. Just made a faith decision, and it was really kind of funny. Tish always words things kind of funny. And she worded it like this. If I work all day, 5 days, 6 days a week, and then have two or three other nights that I can, if God needs Sunday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night, the nights that we met in the assembly, to bless me, you know, I just can't believe God needs those three or four nights for my work. I'm not going to do it. And what was so interesting was her brother, who understood, of course, the spiritual momentum, and he was kind of caught. He wanted to come down on her so bad. You've got to do it. We want Texas to be number one. And but he had to respect that. And back then, Texas number one, and she's about number five, six in the whole world corporation of Herbalife. And so what am I saying here? It's just so easy to get so caught. It's so easy. Take a little heat off of people like Gary. I was, and probably am, because as I think about it, I haven't really taken too much of a vacation, but I know for a long time, well, I took the church assembly in 74 and didn't have a vacation at all until 82 was the first one, and then only one at that. And it was, you know, teaching, you know, study and teach, and, you know, if I leave, the world's going to fall apart. And you just get caught up in that. The momentum carries you. The waves of the work world just carry you, and there's nothing to do about it until you decide. So, John, yeah, he's still battling that, and he's been battling it for a long time. And what I think, Gary, if you really want to pray for Gary, I think he's reached the point where he needs to just listen to the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit's talking with him. He's battled through it enough now. And the fact, what I'm saying here is that the Spirit, in my opinion, has not left him alone now, and so I think the Spirit has talked. It is not something that it was just a little day and then he let it go and everything's good now. No. I'd love to have him here. He listens to some tapes. We get together sometime and eat. Be in prayer for those kind of decisions that have to be made. In a lot of lives. Okay, anything else? Ron Henderson. Okay. Nothing other than what I said last Sunday that, what's his name gave me? Yeah, nothing more. I've not heard any more. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for the opening up of Scripture to continue a really tough one. Let's pray. Father, how nice it would be if our Christian life was just waged and gazed, and the barometer was our relationship with you, and that was the main thing. But we know that's not true. The banner, the mark, is how we deal with one another. That's the mark. If it comes down to that, you made it very clear. Our relationship with one another. Christ said that's how others will know that we belong to him. If we love one another. But now, Father, we wish you'd have made it something else, because that's the toughest area. I couldn't have made it something else. But it's our relationship with one another, other believers, who fail us, let us down, sin against us. And we to them. Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our ears now, our eyes, we might see what the Spirit says to us, that we might be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. What will he lead us to do in the confrontations with one another? Not what we want to do, but what might we hear him saying to us. Pray these things now, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, we have the 24th one another that we're going to look at. 23 last week was confessed. James 5:16. James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another. Okay, this is tough. And we somewhat finished. I want to go into the next part of this now, but tie into it. Confess your sins, and we've noted it can be of one of either two ways. You go, here's believer A, and believer A has sinned against believer B. Now, you can either go to believer B and do this, or believer B comes to you and approaches you on what you have done in regard to them, or what they think you have done, whichever the case may be. And this is what we do. Instead of what a lot of people do, it's none of your business, you're going to have to take care of it yourself, you're going to have to, you made me do it, all this kind of stuff, other than confess in regard to one another. It is a tough thing to do, because when you confess something, people, what we're doing is we are revealing. We are revealing who and what we are as far as the flesh is concerned, and so often we don't like that. And one of the reasons why generally people who write these kind of books, it's men who build these walls and then won't reveal themselves and all this kind of thing. And one of the primary reasons why is not so much a macho thing as if I reveal myself, if she is generally toward a woman, if she knows this about me, she won't love me, admire me, respect me, whatever it is. And that's one of the real deals. And so if I confess, then she'll know, and all of this, and the weakness of my flesh, and I'm just not going to get involved in all of that. I'm not going to do that with one another. I really don't care what Scripture says or what the Spirit leads. Because if I do this, they're going to know. If they know, they're not going to love. Okay. First of all, I want you to understand something, that God knows all of these things, and God still loves you. God knows, and God still loves you. He knew it when he called us. He knew it when he saved us. He knew it, all of these things about us. And when I say God, I'm talking about all three members of the Godhead, still love. And then, next thing I want to say in this whole perspective is, let's take believer B here. Can you still love someone if you know the darkness of their soul? You know the things that they refuse to confess. And so you know the darkness. See, God knows the darkness of our soul. If I use that expression, please. God knows the darkness of our soul, and yet God still loves. Now it comes down, can you know the darkness of someone and still love them in spiritual love? And yes, we can. In the power of God, the Holy Spirit, you can do this. And yes, let's be honest. There are people who come over here, you confess, that's it, they're gone. They didn't come to you for this confession for reconciliation. They had a very flesh objective in it. And so they know now these things, and that's all they wanted to know, and they're gone. Okay, see, I told you, if they knew, that's what would happen. Well, let me explain something to you. That the relationship, fellowship, whatever relationship you had with them, husband, wife, as serious as that, as to friends or work or church or whatever, it was all a false foundation then anyway, people. And that's a hard thing to accept, but it's a real thing to know. It was a false thing anyway. So this whole thing of confession is very difficult to do. We might not mind doing this in our relationship with God, not deny but acknowledge that we sin to God, because one, it's private, and two, we know He isn't going to hold it against us. What He's going to do, He is going to use that for the first step of spiritual recovery. After repentance and then faith, boom, we're back into fellowship, restored to Him, and ready for service. But we're not sure about people. And let's add even to, let's complicate the scenario. Believer B is filled with the Holy Spirit when they come. Believer B is filled with the Spirit when they hear the darkness. Believer B forgives and moves on in the filling of the Spirit. And then 3 days later, Believer B is in the flesh and now ready to attack and use all of this against you. Yes, people, there are the complications. That is why our first and foremost relationship is with the Lord, is with, in respect to God the Holy Spirit, to Jesus Christ, to God the Father. This is our foremost relationship. And if we are walking in faith in God the Holy Spirit, then all of these things that happen between one another, all the complications, I just, in very few minutes, complicated our whole thing. Everything's in the power of the Spirit, and then 3 days later in the flesh, and pow, it's all thrown back. Yes, those things will happen. But what we have to understand is, what am I going to do when I am led of the Holy Spirit here? Do I trust Him? Here's the deal. It's not a matter, and this is very important, people, with confession to one another. It's not a matter of trusting this other believer. Please get that off of your mind. We're not trusting man here. You're not trusting this person with the darkness of your life or your soul. Who are you trusting when you do this? Who are you trusting? Hello? God. You're trusting Him. You're not trusting this other person. Can I, if I do confess and do all of that, you promise you'll never tell anybody as long as you live and never hold it against me and all that? Yeah. Until I get out of there. People were not trusting one another in this deal. Do you realize we've gone through now, we're up to 24. We've not found one passage that said trust one another. And I've got news for you. We won't. It's not there. All of these things, and nowhere will you find trust one another. Trust Him. We're not trusting this other person. We're trusting God that when He said to do this, and when we are led of the Spirit here, we're trusting Him. And that's very important. Our walk with Him. To allow things to work out, and we do what we are led of the Holy Spirit to do. People, we're trusting the Holy Spirit. We're trusting God here. What this person does with it, that's between them and God. Yeah, but no but. Do we trust Him? Let me tell you all the things that can go wrong if you confess. Let me tell you what can go wrong if you refuse to walk in the Spirit and you quench the Spirit when He says do this. Now, you just listen to the words. One verse said, let me tell you everything that will go wrong if you confess your sins to one another. Verses, let me tell you what goes on when you quench the Holy Spirit. So which do you want to do? Yeah, man can do some things with this. But we're trusting God. when he said do this. He never said trust one another, because we're not to do that ever. But he did say, among all these things he said, one of the things he said was, there'll be times when you are to confess to one another. Not every time, not all the time. Never the Spirit. Don't make any of these laws. Don't turn this list into law. This is a phenomenal concept we're dealing here, especially between a husband and wife. Can you know the darkness of someone and still love them? We've been talking about it from the standpoint of this person confessing, but we're getting ready to look at this believer in a moment with the next one. And the whole thing comes down is, does this believer trust God enough? Okay, I'm letting this do it, and this is what I'm going to do, and then can this believer function appropriately? And what is appropriately? Okay, let's look at James 5:16 for the next, the 24th one another. And pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Boy, there's so much here, and I want to go on through this rather quickly. First of all, what does this start off telling us? What this starts off telling us is this. James uses the word confess. Now, we can do one of two things right here. We can go to 20 hours the next 20 weeks and go back over and study homologeo, confession. Or, let me pull it together for you very simply. In the one word, there is no repentance in it. There is no faith in it. There is nothing in it. It just means acknowledge. Obviously, we know, and especially by the next word, that confession, it's like in the 1 John 1:9. That isn't all that God is looking for. Confess your sins. And then God, no, that is what the first step, the problem was denial. So the first thing they had to do was to stop denying and acknowledge. Now we have broken fellowship between two believers. And instead of denying and putting yourself in a greater stress with that person, we are to acknowledge. But let me just again tell you, there doesn't stop with just the homologeo. That leads to repentance. Turn with me, if you will, please, to Luke 17. Luke 17. All right, Luke 17, and look at verse 3. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he confesses, forgive him. Not what it says, is it? It says if he repents. He repents. What is assumed if you repent? The acknowledgement. It's in the concept of repenting. Now, James starts us with a step even before repenting. James starts off with acknowledging. What I'm trying to say to you, let's read the passage. If be on your guard, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Now, this is what we're getting ready to do with pray for one another. Forgive him. And if he does this against you 7 times a day, returns to you 7 times a day and says, I repent, forgive him. Now, in the repenting is what? Is the confession. And then the repenting. And we have no choice. If we're in the filling of the Spirit, what he's going to do is we are going to forgive. Now, this is very important for what's coming up. The confession assumes this. So you can go to somebody. You can go to somebody. And I think we've done this so much in 1 John 1:9, but let's just take it now between two believers. You can go to someone and they say, yeah, I did it. And you deserved it. Now, do you think that's all that's going to be involved here and that's what God is looking for? Of course not. That isn't going to make for any reconciliation. Yeah, I did it, none of your business. Yeah, I did it and you deserved it. Yeah, I did it and leave me alone. Now, I will tell you personally, I've heard preachers say exactly what I just said in the application of 1 John 1:9 and saying that to God, and they stand up and say God has forgiven them and they're filled with the Spirit and they're ready to go. It's because all they did was they did acknowledge it. Repentance, anything. God doesn't care about anything else. Yes, I murdered the person, I don't care, I did again. You're filled with the Spirit. People, God judges the heart. And that's why I try to show you that is one step. And the reason that word is chosen there and nowhere else in Scripture, not here in Luke, in dealing with our relationship with God, is what? The problem. The problem was denial. Now we come to between two believers. So, what I'm just showing you here is the confession leads to a repentance. Now the pressure is on you. Well, you know what? When you came to me at 9 o'clock this morning, I believed you repented. You came at 11, okay, I'm a pretty good guy. You came at 1, you started getting on my nerves, but I forgave. And you came at 4, and it was just because I knew I had to, but now here it is 6 o'clock and you're doing it again, forget it. I don't believe you're repenting at all, because if you really repented, you wouldn't do it. And that's what a lot of Christians say. Read Scripture. I'm not my brother's judge. I have to make a decision. Am I going to be led by the Spirit to forgive this person when they have acknowledged and repented or not? Okay, go back to James with me. Because this is going to be tough. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. All right, the confession to one another will result in the intercession for one another, the intercessory prayer, praying for one another. I want you to understand something. Without this, the confession can really be very harmful. It can be very harmful if we just stop right there. Now, well, I got so much I want to deal with it here, and I'm not even sure of all of the order that I want to do. One thing is, I want you to know the Greek word. Let's just deal with that first. We're talking about a specific prayer for a person. And specifically in context, when they sinned against you. You got to pray for them. And that's difficult because sometimes our mind drifts off into a lot of things. What we want to do is we're going to be in prayer for them. Specifically, that's intercessory prayer for another believer. Now, again, so what does Scripture say that we're to do, that we should listen to the Holy Spirit? I don't want to make this a law, but listening to the Spirit, what are one of the things He may cause us or lead us to do when another believer sins against us? Pray for them. Go into prayer for them. We have seen that we are to restore, bear the burden, forgive. But now we are to pray for them. And it's one thing to pray for one another when everything's going fine, but to pray for one another when they've hurt you, sinned against you directly. What I want you to look at here is in verse 15. So we have a different word. We have prayer in two verses and two different words. Look at verse 15. Verse 15, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sin, they will be forgiven him, which means not all illness is because of sin. There are goofy people running around that if a person's sick, they're out of God's plan, and God doesn't let anybody that he is filled with the Spirit and all this, they'd be sick and all that. People, let me remind you that the churches in Galatia, you remember the passage, we went over rather quickly in our fast and flow, They were formed because Paul was ill. If you remember the verse, we won't turn to it, but he said, if you will recall, the only reason I formed the church and ministered to you because I was sick. I wasn't even going to stay there in Galatia. I was headed out other areas. So God took Paul's sickness and turned it into the forming of churches in Galatia. So you have to be careful with these kind of things. Now, let's continue on. The work of prayer in verse 15. I'm not going to write it on the board and all that. I don't think the Greek would do anything for you. It certainly wouldn't impress you. If you're impressed by that, I'm so sorry for you. But if you trust if I wrote some Greek up on the board, just take it. Let's go to what it's about. That's really what you and I really want to get to. The word in verse 15 is used for a word in a prayer of a wish or a desire. When this wish or desire is addressed to God, we translate it a prayer. We pray to God. We desire that He will come, and we ask Him to come into our lives to intervene in our lives, to do something that we desire. It's an empty prayer. We think it's proper. We think it's a proper solution. And we do this in faith, trusting Him to do what is best. And that's what the word in verse 15 is about. That is, it is our perspective. It is our desire. We think it will be best if He healed this person. One is physically sick. But that may not be. But we pray that. Okay, that's verse 15. Verse 16. Different word for prayer. This word means to come to God in prayer, and the nature of this prayer is primarily in regard to this other person and primarily spiritual. This is intercessory prayer for one another. Now, I do want to say this. The word is also used to make intercession for yourself in other passages. But let's just stay here. Let's don't complicate it by running around. The word emphasizes the prayer in the prayer of what is needed in the realm of spirituality. Okay. Wow. What does all of this presuppose? You're going to pray for one another. Now, do you also follow something else here? By the wording one another. Believer A, who committed the sin, is to pray for believer B against whom he sinned. Believer B, who has sinned against, is to pray for believer B. Now, I want to talk with you. Let's be honest. This one looks like the tough one. Well, yeah. Believer A, he committed the sin. It's easy for him to pray. Believer B, this is really tough for believer B, who was sinned against, to pray for believer B. That's really, really tough. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it's tough for the believer who even committed the sin against the person. Not all the time, but there may be a scenario where believer, because of the whole circumstances of everything, believer A committed that sin. Just out of some other things like anger or something else. And it may be hard for him not only to confess, but certainly difficult to even pray for the believer that he sinned against. I just want you to understand that. But it is generally we focus on believer B, the one that was hurt, to go into prayer for the believer who sinned against him and hurt him. Okay. Now we're talking about prayer. What does this mean? What does this presuppose that has happened between these two believers? One has come and confessed, and now they have confessed. I'm going to do this. There's something happened here I want to talk about, and now they're praying for one another. Before you can ever pray for one another, I'm not talking about the way a lot of people pray. Out of the power of the Spirit. And I'm sorry, I think a lot of prayers get nowhere. But I'm talking about a prayer that is going to be intercessory prayer to God that he will listen to so as to respond to. Something has to happen in here that presupposes, and this is what these types of things that I try to show you, confess to God, and they're rarely do you have a whole scenario of everything that happens. Okay, look at Mark 11. Let's take a look. Mark 11. Mark 11, verse 24. We looked at it, but it's one of those kind of things that keeps coming up, and it's in a relationship between believers. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. Now, verse 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also is in heaven, may forgive you your transgressions. Verse 26. If ye do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. You want to deal with this other person on law, then that's how God will deal with you. They don't deserve your forgiveness based on law instead of the cross, instead of grace. Then God's just fine. Then I'll deal with you in law. It kind of goes back to what we've seen. You can deal with God of law. You can deal with the God of grace. You get to pick. So, what do we know has happened if these two believers are to fulfill this and to pray for one another? They have gone through all of this. They've gone through the repenting, and they have forgiven. They have forgiven one another. Each has forgiven the other. I don't know that believer A had anything to forgive, but let's just, if he did or didn't. But believer B has certainly forgiven believer A. Believer A has repented, confessed, acknowledged, and repented, and gone to faith. Believer B has accepted the acknowledgement and the repentance, and has forgiven, and has gone to faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. So before you can go from the confession to the praying, there's a lot in here that has already transpired before you and I could ever pray for one another. A believer has hurt you. And, you know, we wrote a book some time ago. I'd love to do a little work on it and put it back out. It was on prayer. And, you know, a lot of times, depending on the journey or the severity of things and the relationship, this may be a journey here. Believer B here, let's just take believer B. Believer B here, he may have to do a lot of soul searching first before he even goes to believer A. And he may have to do a lot of prayers, and a bona fide prayer. Father, I do not want to forgive. Give me the desire to forgive. We've studied that before. He may have a lot of battles to go through himself. And then finally, the Holy Spirit brings him to this point. And now he is ready to hear and talk and be reconciled. Believer A may have to go on quite a little journey here. Whatever caused the original sin against that person, the acknowledgement and dealing with it, it's very embarrassing, people. That's why it's one-on-one. But it's very embarrassing to acknowledge and to work these things out, unless you're in the power of the Spirit. But believer A has to work through some things. They may even talk and back off and say, let's meet again tomorrow night or something. And I'm not ready for this. I thought I was. And so you go back and you work through this thing. This may be a journey, especially the first time people do it. This is a tough deal. And then finally comes back in the power of the Holy Spirit. People remember. Please remember a very important study we did in Galatians. Chapter 4 was essential in the Abraham, Hagar, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac thing. And what did we talk about? It takes a long time sometimes for things to happen. Or we did three. Well, don't think, well, once you're, the moment you're filled with the Spirit, people, the Holy Spirit's got a lot of working to do on this soul of both of these people in this case. And if we get disgruntled with the whole thing, what do? We go to law, like Abraham went to Hagar, to make it happen. You don't make it happen. It happens to glorify Him. So, there's this battle that may have to go through here. People, I'm not standing up here saying, okay, believer A, sin against believer B, believer B goes to A, A confesses, acknowledges, repents, believer B forgives, and you walk out and, you know, go have a Coke together. I'm not stupid here. We're talking about some severe stuff in this James passage. We're not going to take time to study all of that stuff right now. We're talking about some severe things between two believers that are really hurting the assembly. This is an assembly matter. But it's between the two believers, and that's where it's got to be right now. And so this may be a great journey. You may not want to forgive. You may not even want to go over and do this. So your first battle is, give me the desire to desire to do this, because I do not desire, Father. And then if you do go and they okay, and then this person, I don't want to be confronted with this. I don't want to work this. I don't want to reveal. I don't want to confess. I don't want to do anything. Give me the desire to do what you want me to do. Give me that desire, and then give me the power to do it. So there may be a lot of prayers, people, intercessory for self before we ever get to the praying for one another. And praying for one another is not, Father, take them home so I don't have to deal with all this stuff. That's not an intercessory prayer. Okay. So there may be a lot of prayers in here, personal intercessory for self, before we ever get to this one that we're talking about. Any questions? Okay, let's continue then. So, the prayer in verse 16, we're intercessory for one another. And we've already seen what this means has happened between and inside of that person. Okay, now we come to the question. Alright. To pray for one another. When it's said that way, it's talking about both believers. If we just said to say with the A and B, A sin against B. A is to pray for B, B is to pray for A. That's intercessory prayer. Okay, let's have some fun. What are we going to pray? Now remember that you have previously had some type of fellowship with this person. You've had some type of relationship. It may have been work, it may have been marriage, it may have been family, maybe social, maybe the local assembly. You've had some kind of fellowship. And then secondly, it's broken by sin, that fellowship. The confession, the repenting, and all of this has been done, and the forgiving. Now, let's talk about it. And remember, you're to pray for the other person. And I keep emphasizing this because I want to tell you how easy it is to start praying, get off of that person and start praying for yourself or pray for something else or, you know, God's will be done in the whole deal and da-da-da-da-da, and you've gotten off of that person. You've got to, in order to pray, people, in order to pray for another person, do you realize what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to concentrate. You're going to have to think, concentrate on this other person. This is beautiful what's going on here. No of these social help books can even compare with what God has set up for us. They've got all this garbage and malarkey. What God is going to do with us and through us through the power of God and the Holy Spirit when two believers have this problem is just a miraculous. It's a miracle. And it's so simple and so easy. And I don't even have to do it. I let the Holy Spirit do it. It is unbelievable all that's going on. Because now, do you see what happened? when believer A sinned against believer B, believer's B, let's just say, the first thought, you dirty bum. And then got back into the filling of the Spirit, and now not even thinking about the sin, but what do we do? Thinking now about the other person. And the believer that sinned against that believer, instead of thinking in the way that he did that caused him to sin to that person, whatever it may have been, he now has to think of that person in another realm. You have to, it says, pray for one another. You're going to have to concentrate on that person. And people, when you're there, you're going to know what this means. I don't want to. I do not want to. And I hope you'll be honest enough to say that and not just go through some ritual of praying for somebody else. God, that's so terrible. Be honest. Be sensitive to yourself and are you empowered by the Spirit before you do this. And if you are not, if you do not want to, be honest and say to God, first, Father, we've got to do some things between you and me before I can pray for this other believer. I got to do some things for myself between you and me. You're going to have your Spirit give me a desire, the desire to do this. I might even desire to forgive. But sit down and pray for them. No. I've got some prayers for them, but I don't think that's what you mean when you say pray for them. Now, I might pray you slam dunk them, throw them in the trash pile, hurt them, make them crawl, take away this, take away that, do this, do that, but I don't think that's the prayer you're looking for. So you're going to have to do some work on me first. Okay, so, you're back into the power of the Spirit. Now, what would you imagine? Some of the things that you would pray, that we would pray. What would we pray for them? What would you pray for this person? They have hurt you. They have acknowledged and repented. You have forgiven. We might say, well, there's nothing to pray for. They're back in fellowship. I'm back in fellowship. Let's just, go on our way. And yet Scripture says the Spirit sometimes will lead us to pray for one another. So what would you imagine? What would be one of the things you might pray for this other person? I'm sorry? Would you mind if I said enrich it? Because we're going to assume that through the process of forgiveness, that there is a form of restoration. So let's put restore, and exactly what I have, first thing I have. Restore, enrich. In other words, what I'm saying here is restore means to heal. Whatever is going on in this other believer. Because, believer, remember, there's so many things I don't want you to forget in this process, in this scenario of what's going on. We studied this in John, and we studied it in 1 John, and we studied it in Hebrews. When we are empowered by God the Holy Spirit, not only are we empowered and led and guided and all of that right then, but there's other things going on. Remember, one of those things that's going on is that he's cleaning out the soul, getting rid of all those things that are wicked and all those types of things. He is building up the desire to stay in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. The best analogy that I can give you, if you recall, I did this several years ago, but when we were in 1 John at this verse. But one of the things that happens is it's kind of like when two people are together. A man and a woman are together, and let's say they both, just whatever, they both date a lot of people, see a lot of people, and they're with each other, and they're really enjoying it, and enjoying what they're doing. But something else is happening they're not aware of. The desire to be with another person is being removed. I really want to be with this person, next week. I don't want to be with what I had already set up. I want to be with this person. What did that happen? That happened while you were in that relationship, in that doing something together, those few hours together. Now, what God is doing is, when we're walking in the Spirit, He cleanses out the desire not to be in the Spirit. I don't want to be out of the Spirit. I want to walk more and more in the Spirit. So there are things that are going on. So there is a healing of the soul of A to B. A, he did commit the sin and pray for a believer. B, that the hurt and all that I did and the sorrow, because we can be filled with the Spirit in sorrow, and all this healing be taking place in them. And believer, be who was hurt, praying for believer, that there will be this restoration and the enriching of the relationship, that the Holy Spirit will cause believer A to be more spiritually sensitive, if you please, and believer B in the relationship. So that would be absolutely one. What might be another one? Okay, that the Holy Spirit, what you've used is what I just said, and I have it in my list here, that the Holy Spirit will continue to cleanse their soul of that and work on their soul in that area. Instead of judging them, cleanse them, that the Spirit will cleanse them and restore them, and to continue to cleanse them so that that area of whatever it may be will slowly be taken care of by God, the Holy Spirit, or be made so aware. Because see, I want you to understand something. Some people go through their whole life battling the same battle. And people like to judge that, well, they weren't walking in the Spirit. No, I can't tell you if the Holy Spirit's going to eventually take it away from somebody or not. I do know in one case personally, C. I. Schofield never got over wanting to drink. It was always there for him to be sure he was in the Spirit. So sometimes the Holy Spirit may not take it away. But what we can pray is that the Holy Spirit will so convict and work so that when there is that desire, that boom, the Holy Spirit can convict and use them. All right? Anything else? If you can pray in regard to that person. What else would you pray for them? Intercessory prayer for them. For themselves. Deal with it themselves. That God, the Holy Spirit, and this is very powerful because a lot of times people don't. That God, the Holy Spirit, when they're empowered by the Spirit, is working inside of them in regard to the inner peace that He gives in who and what they are in Christ. Very good. What else, maybe? What else would you want for that believer, for another believer? Intercessory prayer. Okay. Again, it's like the first one. Once they've gone back to faith, it's there. How about this, Bruce? That they will go right back into the service of God, and that God will continue to use them and bless them, and as far as His plan is concerned. In other words, you're praying that God will continue to bless them. Will that work for you? Okay. All right, these are just some of the things. I cannot believe the time. These are just some of the things that that we can be in prayer for one another when these things have arrived and occur in a relationship. All right, let's see if we can quickly wrap up the rest of the verse, though. So that you may be healed. Okay, let's see what we have here. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that. Okay, we have a purpose clause. This is a result. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to confess, repent, and forgive, and we're going to pray for one another. Here is the true purpose of the confession to one another and the praying for one another. And that is the concept of healing. Now, we've seen in the study in 1 John that man can do two things in dealing with when there's sin, when there's a problem. Man can be two things. One, be one of two things. And we've taken care and we've seen this. Man can either acquit, say a person is innocent, or we can find them guilty. And we might even add, we can forgive them. But I want you to understand something so important in your life. We can not cleanse. We cannot cleanse another person. This is why so many Christians that believe in therapy, psychology, and counseling, and sometimes counseling is an encouragement to walk in the Spirit. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where we're going to get in and we're going to get that demon out of you. We're going to reprogram you. We're going to work on it. We're going to do this. People, please understand, man cannot change. And this is the one thing that makes us so upset. God, I would forgive this person, but I know they're going to go do it again, and I don't want that. I want that cleansed out of them before I forgive them. I want to know they're not going to do this again. Forget it. Just forget it. That's not in Scripture. Show me. Show me that even inferred. We cannot cleanse another person. We cannot cleanse our wives, our husbands, our children, our friends, no one. We can't do it. We can try, and that's what psychoanalysis is all about from Sigmund Freud on. We're going to go in. We're going to reprogram. We're going to cleanse. We're going to get that demon out of you. We're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and drugs are used to do it, and boy, we're going to change you. C.S. Lewis wrote a phenomenal little dissertation on capital punishment. I'll never forget one of his points. It was years ago, but one of his points in that little book on capital punishment was the most inhuman thing to be to a person is to try to reprogram them using psychoanalysis, drugs, or whatever, and remake the person. You're not respecting them as a human being. The most human thing, the recognition of human dignity, is capital punishment. You did this, there's your punishment. We respect you as an individual. We respect you as a human being. We respect you as a person who has responsibility for what you did. To lock up this person like a dog and completely reprogram him is an assault against human dignity, if you want to use it the way he did. Now, whether you agree with him or not, what we're talking about here is, yes, we could try to go in and reprogram a person in psychoanalysis, therapy, drugs, because we don't trust the Holy Spirit to do it. People, I'm here to tell you, I trust the Holy Spirit to be this. I've seen it all through Scripture and through history. Okay? We cannot cleanse a person. This is where we have to trust God. We have to trust God. And someone might quickly say, I trust God, but I don't trust that person. But a lot of people come down, it's just, I don't trust God. I actually heard members of the Board of Deacons one time say, we do not trust the Holy Spirit. Straight out that strong. Declared it. And most people don't. We don't trust the Holy Spirit to do what he was sent to do. So we're going to do it for him. We want all of these things, we want psychoanalysis, therapy, all of this stuff to clean out and to get rid of some demon in a person. People, you can forget it. This is the work of God. This is his job. This is what his Spirit was sent to do. So let's take a look. The healing that is going on here. The taking care of the spiritual fiber of that person. So we as a believer have to make up our mind, do we trust the Holy Spirit? Do we trust him to do this when we pray? Well, I don't want to rush this, and we're already over time, so we'll just pick it up right here next Wednesday evening, because this is very important. How do we interact, and what is the healing talked about here? And we'll just pick it up right here next Wednesday evening. I'm sorry we ran out of time. Let's pray. How grateful we are, Father, that you have sent to us the third member of the Godhead. Father, when we look at problems between believers like this, we begin to realize in just a personal relationship basis, I can't do this, don't want to do it. But in the power of the Spirit, all things are possible. acknowledgement of sin, forgiveness, and praying for one another. All in the power of your Spirit. Now, Father, cause us to be able to see what's really behind all of this. Get our eyes off of ourselves for a moment. And that's your glory. When the Holy Spirit, when we allow the Spirit to do these things in us by trusting Him, you are glorified. You receive all glory. This is the magnitude of your power before angels. Showing angels and man how you operate, how you forgive, how you restore, how you enrich and bless, how you deal with us. And as we continue to walk in the Spirit, this will be how we deal with one another. Christ is our example. He was constantly in prayer, even for those who betrayed Him, denied Him, crucified Him. And that same can come through us, through your Spirit. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.